flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Welcome in, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Let's get your heads right on a Wednesday, January 29th. We are slowly creeping towards February 1st. I always like to get January in the rear view as quickly as possible.
Inching closer.
Inching closer. February, very short month. It's beautiful. And then you're one step closer to baseball season, which, hey, listen, normally I'm pretty excited about every year. This one is a bit like waiting for impending doom, but you know what? Still got to play the games, as Joe Davis and Oral Hershiser let me know a few years ago. That's why you play the games. Canceled the parade. I'll be using that several times this season, hopefully, if things go the way that they go in my mind for the Los Angeles Dodgers. But
following their 9-game losing streak late April.
I won't say anything until I wouldn't. I'm not going to run a lot of mouth about the Dodgers. It's hard to until the like if they don't win the World Series. I'll be nude live on Instagram, it will be a scene.
I don't really see a 9-game losing streak in their future, but, you know, that's why
anything
you play
can
the
happen.
Games.
Anything can happen. I'm Woodsy, that's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Benjamin, how are you?
A little friendlier than I was at around, 15 minutes into the Aztecs game last night when I wasn't feeling all that friendly.
This is foreplay. We've got 4 hours
I'm
to talk about
you
your
how
Aztecs
I'm feeling.
Tizzy.
I'm not jumping into any Aztecs discussion. I am telling you how I am feeling
today
this
is National Curmudgeon Day, and I celebrate. I celebrate most days. I'm a bit of a curmudgeon. Are you curmudgeonly at all?
No, I would say I do not fit the description of a curmudgeon.
Paulie's pretty even keel. You know, he's pretty much even keel. You have some curmudgeon tendencies. Yeah, I think, I don't see much curmudgeonly tendencies from Benjamin.
No.
I'm about 80% curmudgeon, 20%, good guy. But I'm trying to be better at home. Hannah, too. We both decided to try to be more light. Light is the word that we're kind of using. Light, loose. There's another word she uses, and I can't remember.
All right, to be fair, I think everyone has curmudgeonly tendencies.
Yeah.
The question is, like when someone comes to your boss or your spouse and they ask you to do something you don't want to do.
Subdued is the word we're using. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. When they ask you to do something you don't really want to do.
Sure.
Do you verbally or physically express your displeasure at it, or do you internally just go, I don't really want to do this, but yeah, sure, no problem. I'm more of a internally, I just think, I don't want to do this, but I'll just say, yeah, no problem. I can take care of that.
Oh, like when Adam asked me to do something, I physically assault him.
Exactly.
I grab him around the throat and I slam him into the wall.
That's curmudgeonly of you.
I was like, shut your pie hole. Hey, boy, I'm not doing it. Okay? Quit asking. That's what I do to Adam.
He kind of has some.
I'm not going to. So quit asking.
I do the hands up.
The hands up thing.
And the head back. Yeah. Hands up, head back is me. Ready? Yeah. So ask me to do something. Woodsy, can you cut spots after this?
You have a physical reaction to bad news.
Yes.
I don't know, is that part of the definition of being curmudgeonly?
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
I try to at least restrain my physical reactions to
meanwhile, your insides are like a tornado. Like, you're very mad inside, but you're like, oh, yeah, sure, no problem. You grit your teeth a lot. You grin and bear it a lot. I'm not a big grin and bear it guy at all. So I'll just, fine. That's me. I wonder where Taylor gets it from. Yes. Taylor, you still want ice cream? Yes. It's my favorite. It's just the best. He's being the huge a-hole.
You told me that. Okay, I don't think you said that part when you told that story last week about it was just like, you just went, no, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
But then you told me privately the ice cream part.
Yeah.
And I think that's the funnier part of that whole story.
Yeah.
Like, what was it? You're like, hey, if you don't change that attitude.
You're not going to get your ice cream, right? And he'll start to still pitch a fit, and I'll just go, all right.
That's like some pride.
I'll go, do you want this treat, this special treat? He'll go, yes. It kills me, man.
He doesn't like change the tune at all. Like,
no.
Okay, fine.
He just, yes. He did it last night.
I comply with your wishes, yes. But I'm going to do so begrudgingly.
100%. Curmudgeonly.
Curmudgeonly.
Both of my children are huge curmudgeons, little turds, both of them. KG says, marriage is just a war of attrition through petty blackmailing. Yeah, you're exactly right.
So you're a romantic at heart,
KG. Yeah, right. No, he's right about the blackmail. Like, when I got home from spring training, you know, I wanted a king's welcome when I got home. I always do. And, you know, I told my wife, hey, if I'm good, can we, you know. And I was good. And I helped and got everything done. And I was rewarded several times. And it was really, really nice to be home.
Several times. Wow.
It was like Hotel Hannah was around. Road trip Hannah is... I guess when I go on a road trip Hannah, I guess, is now a thing.
Have you tried ever setting the mood?
Yes.
Like putting in one of those phones with a blinking red light in your room and a mini bar of some sort.
So when I was at Fantasy Camp, somebody asked, yeah, homecoming Hannah. That's perfect. Thank you, Carlos. Couldn't think of it. When I was at Fantasy Camp, I had a dream about her. And it was a spicy one. And I texted her the next morning, like, holy cow, babe. Like, that was incredible. She never wrote me back. She was in the middle of it with the kids, the storm. So about 8 hours go by. And I'm like, we don't like sext and stuff ever. So it was kind of like throwing out some bait. Now, this is like last Tuesday. So I know I still had 5 or 6 days till I got home. But I threw it out there. She never wrote back. So I was like, oh, great. But I was out at the camp, and the guys had seen my tweet, because I tweeted that. And they're like, oh, no Hotel Hannah, because everybody knows the story of Hotel Hannah. You get my wife in a hotel, it's over. It's over. And I told them the story about when we were down for opening day, we were walking walking out of a restaurant. Guy walks by, he goes, oh, Hotel Hannah. And I started dying laughing. He had listened that morning. And I told the guys at Fantasy Camp, I go, bro, I was legit thinking about turning my bedroom into a Marriott, just to make it look like a Marriott so that we're always in a hotel.
Little individually wrapped bars with soap in the bathroom, two white robes hanging in an otherwise empty closet.
Put that weird cuck chair over in the corner, the desk, the lamps, the whole thing. The whole thing. And I was like, that would up my chances. But yeah, you know, it is. It's a lot of blackmail. It really is. Marriage is a lot of blackmail. I'll do this if you do this in turn. My asks are usually always sexual, if I'm being completely honest. It's always, okay, but you're going to have to submit. You're going to have to do, let me
turn on the TV. It comes on local activities channel.
It's Mario Lopez going, welcome to the Woods household. You will find so many amenities here at your disposal.
Check out our spa on the fourth floor.
That would be the greatest bit of all time. Yeah, it's Mario Lopez. If you go down the street, you'll find several neighbors. Enjoy the beautiful cul-de-sac out front. You can see the ocean from the front bedroom. I mean, it is truly, man, it's crazy. Now, my wife has submitted to me the idea. We used to do a podcast, and it was called My Idiot Soulmate. And it went really well for about six episodes. And then what I realized is not everybody is okay with how we talk. Like how we talk to each other, how we talk to our kids. We're a different family. And I told her, she really wants to do it again. And I mean, really, really wants to do it again. And I said, do you have any idea how involved it is to do a podcast? And she tried to get Polly. She goes, well, I bet Polly would want to make some extra money. I go, Polly does not want to come over here and record us doing a podcast. He doesn't work for us. Like, she sends him on all kinds of errands to get stickers and shirts and patches. I go, baby, it doesn't work for us. He's not going to drive over here and be like, all right, you're rolling, right? And then he's got to edit it and post it.
Did you just give him the clapboard? Like,
yeah,
it's a movie?
Clapboard.
Okay,
action. And so I just don't know what to do. I can't do it. She can't do it. Do we go to a podcast studio? There's that one that I've been to before down in Carlsbad. It's a really nice studio. It's where Dave Rickards does his latest podcast. But then I'm cutting them in on some cash. Do I really want to do this? Do I want to put my life even more out there? So I'm wrestling with it right now. I'm assuming you have no interest, Paulie, right?
Not really.
Yeah, I didn't think so. So I didn't even want to ask.
I'll do it. That's fine.
You're not going to be our producer.
Yeah, no, I'll produce your podcast.
Where?
At your house.
Do you have the gear?
No, you're going to provide the gear.
So that's the thing. We don't even have all the gear. When are we going to do this?
I think you should build an in-house studio.
I mean, if we had another room, we possibly could. We don't really have room for it. We could do it in our office, but I don't know. It's just a lot.
You sort of have, I mean, where we do like our web streams and stuff.
That's my
you
office.
You kind of got your office, and you set that up and make it a podcast studio.
Hannah says, Adam is my intern. Paul is my colleague. If I could get Adam to produce it.
Adam's my intern?
Hey. That means Adam's...
First segment of My Idiot Soulmate, we're talking Aztecs basketball.
Brian Dutcher, hot seat or no? Yeah, so I don't know. I do feel like I have a lot of power in my hands because she keeps asking me. So I think I could use it potentially as like a bargaining chip. I'll do a podcast if you know. So we'll see. We'll see where it goes. But it's more involved than she thinks it is. She's like the star. She thinks she shows up, rips the mic for an hour, and then she's done. No, there's YouTube feeds. And are we going to ask people to pay for it? Like, how's this going to work? There's so much to do. So I don't know, man. It could be some good content. We'd have some fun with it. Also, people will know for a fact then that we are truly insane. So that's where we're at with that. But we got a lot to get to today. Our beloved Padres are back. They're back, straight up. They're not.
We'll talk about the move that was made yesterday and more. Set the menu. What we've got coming up on a Wednesday edition of Ben and Woods. Quickly, we'll check in with Kelly Danik, some traffic, get your morning started, and then back with more. Ben Woods and Paul on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fam.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, a little bit of activity from your San Diego Padres yesterday. Nothing earth-shattering, but we will talk about the signing of Elias Diaz coming up. Obviously, it's good news and adds depth at the catching position.
Yes.
Beyond that, I mean, is it a giant need?
Yesterday, you had the latest in the they-said-she-said battle going on between the Seidler brothers and Shiel Seidler. And then there was even an update after that. And it's all anybody wants to talk about, or it's all anybody is tweeting about, certainly. And then you saw this move come across, and you saw a shift. And people were legitimately, legitimately excited to bring Elias Diaz back. And I don't think it's necessarily because it's Elias Diaz. It's because they actually went out and spent $4.5 million on a player. And it gave everybody a sense of, okay, maybe this waiting game crap is over and we can make some moves and we go from there.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about it. I don't know that you can read a ton into the operation of the Padres based on one-year signing for a very reasonable salary. That was never something that was going to, Major League Baseball's not, handcuffing any team to the extent. No, you can't add any players
anyone,
at all.
Anyone, right.
Yeah, we'd rather see you have no one out in left field and have an eight-person lineup than sign someone to a very reasonable contract. That was never even on the table. There's no restrictions on at least filling out your 40-man roster, which is what the Padres are essentially doing, and we're always going to do. They're not going into the season with a 40-man roster.
Right.
They're going to add some players. This is one of them, and we'll talk about it. We'll talk about the news that came out yesterday. I have spent way too much time reading every single like the legal documents.
Yeah, you spent.
Adam got them for us.
A ton.
And then I spent, an hour plus reading through. I read through all the pages of the original Shields-Seidler lawsuit, all of them in the response. And just my kind of bottom line is I do believe that given a little bit of time, a judge, a courtroom, they're going to figure out, what was written down, what it all means, and there will be some sort of, ruling based on all of this. I'm not going to jump in there and say this is clearly going to happen or that's clearly going
to
happen.
That would be a dumb thing to do.
Everybody's doing that right now. Everybody immediately took sides. I'm just going to say the legal process needs to actually play out. Someone with authority, like a judge, is going to read what Peter Seidler's, documents, trust, and will say. And they will make rulings accordingly. And until you actually have that document in your hands, you don't have a really valid opinion on this. You see arguments from both sides.
Sure. And there's stuff that you read on both sides of this coin, and you go, oh, wow, oh, my God. But as I was talking to a buddy about it yesterday, I said, none of this mudslinging either way is uncommon. Like, you guys know that. It's not as simple as if you access the documents, this is what you will find. No,
it's a dirty, unfortunate part of litigation.
It's this weird underbelly.
An awful picture.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, I may be the only guy that's ever been through an amicable divorce. You know what I mean? And that's what this is like. This is that's what it's like. And there doesn't need to be all of that, but that's where it is. And I think both parties are using some of that to help bolster their case or to help bolster public opinion. Again, I said it yesterday on the show. I've said it like a mantra. I don't know much, but I know Peter wouldn't be happy about any of this. I know that. That I wouldn't want it for my brothers either. Yeah, for my brother either, right? Like, it's what a terrible position. And it's interesting, when one party passes away, it's fair game. I mean, all you can go on then, Ben, all you can go on is what is via the document. If when Peter passed away, anybody in the organization is now free to say whatever they want. Whatever they want. And so is Shield. Oh, no, he told me. It's mine. And they said, oh, he actually told us it wasn't. Prove it, right? Like, that's what it boils down to. That,
I think that's what's going to happen. Someone with authority, a judge, is going to sit who understands the law, who understands common sense. They will hear the arguments from both sides, and they will make an informed decision as to what should happen here. I can't tell you. I'm not informed enough. You're not informed enough. Padres fans, other members of the media, no one is informed enough on the actual guiding documents of this case to really tell you what's what at this point. So I am going to continue to just say, we're just going to have to be patient. Hopefully the Padres can operate and, conduct their business and go forward at least in a somewhat reasonable manner and putting teams on the field and being competitive however long this is going to take. But right now, you know, nothing that I have seen is telling me that this is going to end quickly or this is, you know, going to be a definitive answer right away.
Yes, I've been confused this whole time because it, at face value, for somebody that knows nothing about the legal world, doesn't this seem like it should be a kind of a slam dunk for either side? Like, there should be a line of succession that Peter left. He can't, he's not here anymore. He can't change his mind.
Correct.
Like, find those documents, and that's it.
Right? Yeah, I mean, look, and KG makes the point, families literally come to blows over a couple of $100 sometimes.
Yeah.
Are people really surprised it can get super ugly when millions involved? That's my point. Absolutely not. I'm not surprised by any of this. I hate all of this. I wish none of this happened. I wish that there was a way to make every single party happy and fulfilled in this.
And
I just don't know what it is.
And I think no one really wants to hear this part of it, but it doesn't mean that there's bad people on either side either. I think there's always an instinct that, well, someone, at least one of the sides, if not both sides, they're just bad, greedy people, and they're doing the wrong thing. It's quite possible that both sides believe that they are operating and doing the right thing. That happens a lot in life. Like, you're very convinced that your course of action is the right one and the one you're supposed to be taking. The person who is opposing you is also convinced that what they are doing is the right thing that they are supposed to be doing. And that's why things end up in court sometimes.
Well, do we have any clarity on when a control person will be named? Because my...
The original report said it was soon. Owners were going to probably vote before spring training.
Okay, that's creeping up on all of us.
On the appointment of John Seidler as the new control person. But
okay,
does the lawsuit have any impact on that? Will they, you know, change their mind and go, well, let's continue with Eric Kinsenda as the interim for now until this is settled? I don't know how it works. My guess is they will continue with business as usual, and if they want to approve John Seidler, they will approve John Seidler. He has been nominated officially as the control person, so the next step is probably a vote on that. And at that point, you know, I would imagine you'd have to hear something. We haven't heard really anything publicly other than this, you know, lawsuit response from the brothers.
No, I mean,
you take over as control person of the team, you don't have to answer every single question, but you can't
hide.
You can't say nothing and just, you know, be a mysterious figure behind a curtain for the next 4 years until finally, oh, the lawsuit's done. Hi, I'm John Seidler in 2027. I'd like to introduce myself as the control person for the Padres.
Sorry about that, John. We are in the middle of a lockout, so that will not be happening. We're going to need you to do that in 2028. Yeah, it sucks. You know, I have a lot of questions. I have a lot of questions. Whoever is named control person, if it's Sheil, great. If it's John, great. I got questions for you guys. I really do. And I think it's questions that people need to hear the answers to. You know, it's been a rough one to start the season. I think everyone can agree on that. If we agree on nothing else, it's been a really rough start. But again, signing a 34-year-old catcher yesterday did some wonders for the mental health of our fan base, at least on the Twitter world yesterday.
All right, we'll talk about that. Then we'll get into the crazy Aztecs comeback last night. If you didn't stay up for the end of it, Woods.
I did not.
You missed.
You're welcome, everybody.
You missed a nutty game at Viejas Arena. We'll have our regular features as well as we get going. But I want to talk about the Padres. So let's get to a break here, and we will then talk about Elias Diaz and his return coming up next.
California sports fans, good news. Underdog available to play in your state. The best app for your big game party is actually on your phone. It's called Underdog. Underdog, the best place to cash in on all your takes during the big game. Which players are going to go off? Which ones are ice cold? Make your entries in just a few taps. With their Pick'em game, you can win up to 1,000 times your money just by choosing higher or lower on player stats, yards, touchdowns, interceptions, and more. Now, they've got all your favorite leagues, teams, and stars to choose from. I actually did a little Underdog action last night, Benny, on the Aztecs in San Jose State. And I won! I won. I 4 out of 6. It's pretty good. I had Magoon Gwath higher than 6.5 rebounds. He had 7. I had Nick Boyd, higher than 10.5 points. He had 11.
Ooh.
So I was feeling pretty good last night. B.J. Davis, lower than 7.5. He had 4. These are the things that you can do. It's really, really fun playing on Underdog. Again, all you got to do is pick higher or lower. Underdog, the best place to play. Pick 'em. Download the app. Sign up with promo code Woods. Deposit now to get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly. Promo code is Woods. Must be 18 and over. Present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms do apply. Concerned with your play? 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
Good vibrations.
Is that what? Is this intentional, Paulie?
No, it's like just the way that it comes up sometimes.
Finally feeling some good vibrations in the Padres offseason.
I'd say average vibrations. I'm picking up average vibrations.
I think yesterday's reported signing, it's not a done deal. There's still a physical that needs to be done.
Probably fall through.
But widely reported that the Padres have agreed on a one-year, $3.5 million deal with a mutual option for 2026 with catcher Elias Diaz. By the way, ESPN yesterday, our friend David Schoenfield, did the best remaining free agent at every position.
Yep.
He was the best remaining catcher on the market. So Padres landing the best remaining catcher on the market.
He had them linked to Diaz before the announcement.
He did. He also had them, and we can talk about this coming up. He had them linked to another player that I hadn't thought of or heard mentioned once with the San Diego Padres this offseason. We can get to that.
There's a couple that kind of
in a second.
Stood out.
This is the kind of signing that if you want the optimistic, rosy Ben outlook, I can give it to you. I can tell you that Elias Diaz was an all-star in 2023. I can tell you that he's younger and has better career numbers than Kyle Higashioka, has been more consistent over his career, and is a lot cheaper than what the Rangers signed Kyle Higashioka as. This is a smart and savvy move by A.J. Preller to bring back Elias Diaz, and if you know they work well with him, and he has a decent season, this is an absolute steal for the San Diego Padres behind the plate. I can give you the Ben Rosie outlook, and none of it is untrue. I'm not lying or making or stretching the truth. I can also tell you that it may not move the needle at all.
Yeah,
Elias Diaz, you know, may not actually help your team very much. That doesn't change the nature of the 2025 Padres and who they are. We'll talk about Dan Szymborski's Zips projections. I think they actually went down a tick when they signed Elias Diaz.
You're joking.
As opposed to, I think they were 0.8 for catching and went to 0.7 after he updated everything with his Zips projections for Elias Diaz. So essentially a non-move by the San Diego Padres.
We just live in the torture chambers. We just live there. Hey, we added a new catcher.
Looking at it.
Yeah, you're going just, down.
I know we'll dive into the Zips later on in the show.
Fantastic.
But, before, it was 0.8 with Campusano, Sullivan, and Maldonado as your catching core. And then he says updated for the Diaz signing, and it's just Diaz and Campusano, and it's 0.7.
What about Maldonado? Here's what I think that I saw a lot of this yesterday, too. nothing against Campy, but I saw people like the Padres will literally do anything to not have Luis Campusano as their starting catcher.
That's one of the first things I thought of.
I did, too.
I just more like, what does this tell us about their confidence in Campy?
And I do think, you know, when you bring in a former defensive specialist, Martin Maldonado, his defense has really fallen off. But we've been able to catch lightning in a bottle a few times with catchers over the last few years. Maybe we get lucky again with one of these guys. I wonder if Campusano gets in some first base. I wonder if he DHs a little bit and takes the pressure of having to call games and block pitches and catch knuckleballs and do all those things. Take it off of his plate and say, man, all you got to do is sit and hit against lefties. Eggy Rosario's a decent option against lefties, too. Put him at first base, couple games. You know, it's depth is really what it is. But I would imagine that Diaz is going to get the lion's share of the work. I would imagine.
I think that's what the Padres would like at this point.
So, $3.5 million, that's my starting
catcher. I don't think the Diaz signing tells us anything about the Padres' view of Luis Campusano that we already didn't know.
Oh, okay.
The fact that they sent him to AAA at the end of last year and didn't put him on the playoff roster should tell you everything you need to know about the state of the Padres' confidence in Luis Campusano.
Do you feel like he's the type of person that you could potentially sell pretty easily to another team?
Campy?
Yeah. Like, look at this raw power, you know. Some team could think...
Could bite.
There's something
we could dream
there.
On him.
Yeah, you
could
dream on him.
I think the Padres
him.
Are still kind of dreaming
we
on him.
Absolutely,
but
we all are. We're still dreaming on Campusano and what he is capable of.
No one in the Padres organization is going to be unhappy if it clicks for Luis Campusano this year.
Yeah, no doubt.
I just don't think they're expecting it at this point. They were expecting it the last couple of years. Okay, this is a guy we really like. He's going to figure it out. The catching skills are going to improve. He's going to become a more consistent hitter, and we'll have a really solid major league catcher on our hands. And it just hasn't happened.
Yep.
There's been moments, but overall, he just hasn't developed the way that they were hoping. Is it impossible? How old is Campy now? 25? 24?
Is he a little older than that?
Let me see. I mean, it's... He's not beyond the age where you still...
26.
So he's not beyond the age where you could still...
Figure it out.
Yeah. But he's getting beyond the prospect level of where you expect that regular development. If it hasn't happened by now, you can't ever be sure it's going to happen in the future. So they needed other options. They went out and signed Martin Maldonado. That wasn't a great option considering his, well, declining skills, both, you know... Never had skills offensively, but his declining skills defensively. Always saw him more as a mentor for the catcher's room at spring training.
Sure.
But
work
not
with Ethan Salas.
Not
sure.
Someone you want to see catching 75 to 80 games a year for the Padres. Now Elias Diaz is someone you can see catching at least, you know, 100 games for the Padres this upcoming season. And maybe actually, I mean, you know, generally in his career hit around 260, 270. He was hitting like 270 last year for the Rockies when he was released because they wanted to get a look at what Drew Romo behind the plate at the end of the season and just let him go. And the Padres picked him up at the end of the year. Didn't do much. 12 games.
Yeah, didn't use it much.
190, one homer.
Yeah.
Didn't have a lot of opportunities.
One playoff at bat.
Yeah. So, you know, we didn't really see much of Elias Diaz last year. But, again, he was an all-star in 2023. Was he an all-star because the Rockies were terrible and needed an all-star? Yes. Did he win the All-Star MVP award for the National League by hitting a two-run home run to win the game in the eighth inning? He did. Those things are, you know.
They are true.
They're true. They are part of his makeup.
That's not you spinning this.
I'm not spinning it.
You're not polishing the turf.
Would I predict that he's going to be an All-Star this year and probably be the MVP of that game again? No, I would not.
I would not take that bet either.
That would probably be a poor wager if you were going to make it at this point.
Padres also added a minor league deal with outfielder Forrest Wall. Matt Fryers reported that yesterday. He's appeared in 31 Major League Baseball games over the last two seasons. Played for the Braves and Miami. Hit 311 in a small sample, 50 trips to the plate.
I thought we had that last week.
I didn't have that last week.
He's a speedster, right?
I don't know. It looks like he walks a lot.
Yeah, he stole a lot of bases in the minor leagues, has had a couple of coffees in the big leagues, and he stole a few bases there as well.
Pinch runner type, maybe.
That's what it looks like. Yeah,
He's played more than 3,400 professional innings as a center fielder, logged upwards of 1,100 minor league frames in left field, where there is a hole here for the San Diego Padres. So, Forrest Wall, I doubt he's going to be your opening day left fielder, but he could be on the bench for this team.
No, I mean, if you're looking at the guys who they signed on a minor league basis, I think Oscar Gonzalez remains the most likely.
Yeah.
Oh, minor leaguer who all of a sudden is your starting left fielder on opening day. I mean, he's done it before, at least on the big league level. And, you know, if he has a good spring, my guess is the Padres would be open to the idea of Oscar Gonzalez, you know, being added to the 40-man roster and potentially getting some playing time, at least early in the season in the outfield, you know, unless they come up with a better option or sign someone else here between now and the start of spring training. I would think that, you know, we talk a lot about Tirso Ornelas, you know, being an option out there. Brandon Lockridge, I know they like him, but I don't think they're projecting huge things. I think Oscar Gonzalez is someone that they probably will give a real serious look to at spring training for an outfield job right now, considering the state of the outfield.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so...
Wait, who did Schoenfield have?
For the what? Oh, the other player.
Yeah.
So this was interesting. He had the best second baseman still available as Jose Iglesias.
Not Ha-Sung Kim.
No, he was the best shortstop available. And he predicted, because he predicted where each of these players would land, that he would end up with the San Diego Padres and that they would move Jake Cronenworth back to first and Luis Arraez to designated hitter by signing Jose Iglesias, which, I mean, that surprised me. I did not have Jose Iglesias on my radar at all from last season.
He's a veteran, to be sure. Worth three war last year.
He had a really, like, out of nowhere good season that no one really believes is the kind of numbers he can put up last year. But yeah, he had over 300 and in only like 80 games or something. But yeah, you have the numbers in front of him.
OPS plus was 137. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty solid.
He had a really solid like year, like surprising last year. I don't know
where was he last year? The Mets.
Mets. I don't know where David Schoenfeld like linked him to the Padres or thought that made a lot of sense. But
I don't think he's going to cost you a ton either.
I thought the most interesting one in David Schoenfeld's piece was in the outfield. He said the best available outfielder is Harrison Bader, and the best fits for him would be the Royals, the Rays, the Reds, the A's, the Pirates, and
Padres.
Yep. And he said Padres, after losing Jerickson Profar, they have the biggest hole. He said this is where the small market payrolls might get their hands dirty, but without Profar, the Padres are the contending team with the biggest hole in the outfield.
We do have a hole out there. You want to, when you have a hole, you want to fill it.
The other interesting note from that is, yeah, you mentioned Ha-Sung Kim. He's the best shortstop. He didn't see anywhere where Ha-Sung Kim could land. He thought he might be unsigned, like at the start of the season. There's like no team that is really busting down the door to sign Ha-Sung Kim, which I feel bad for Ha-Sung Kim. He gets to free agency, had a solid 4 years,
He's hurt
right at the end of his contract, and now no one really wants to take a chance on him, at least at the moment, because
he'll get a job.
My guess is, you know, someone will lose a shortstop to injury, and all of a sudden Ha-Sung Kim will look like a really good plan. But right now there's like no teams that make a ton of sense for Ha-Sung Kim, at least teams that have the financial wherewithal to sign him to a deal and would make sense to play him at shortstop. There's a couple that might be able to put him at second base, but, you know, defensively, obviously, his best value is playing him at shortstop.
Yeah, but I mean, if he's not healthy, I don't think I'd rush to sign newly minted Boris client Ha-Sung Kim to play short for me for half a season. I think that's one. If I was a GM, and even if I had a need at short, I'd go, I got to wait and see if this guy's health gets back.
Dodgers made another move official yesterday. We can get to that after a quick check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Old friend Kirby Yates officially signs with the Dodgers yesterday. $13 million for one season with another million available, I think, with like 55 inches for the Dodgers. It's quite notable that after all the spending that the Dodgers have done the last two off seasons, that they can still drop $13 million
with ease.
Like, no one even bats an eye.
No.
Oh, yeah, a position they didn't really even
need. Yeah, they're pretty set down there in the bullpen.
This is a luxury item. This is an addition that is pretty much just insurance over the top. Hey, let's add one more piece just because we can.
You've got a good seat on the plane, a really good seat, maybe even an exit row. And you go to check in, and they say, would you like to upgrade to business class? And you go, yeah, might as well. I'm here. I got the money. I'll just do it. Well, while you were freaking out about the Aztecs, I was reading our beloved Darnay Tripp's tweet that was full of information, Ben. Sports anchor for NBC San Diego, your counterpart. He said the most Kirby Yates had previously made in a single season was $6 million in 2023. It's good living. Good living. Had a great year last year. His total career earnings after 24 was $26 million. We'd all kill to make $26 million in our career. But, I mean, this guy's been in the league a long, long time. He could get more than half that this year from the Dodgers. Great, great move for him and his family, who I love.
Increased your career earnings by 50% in 1 year.
Incredible.
Think about all the money you've made in your life and then say, okay, next year I'm going to make exactly half of that in 1 year.
Right.
That's a great,
it's a
great deal for Kirby Yates.
And I, so we know Kirby and we know his wife Ashley, and they're just the greatest people. They were so kind to our show when we very first were starting out. Kirby was one of our first dugout interviews that we ever did. Couldn't have been cooler. So I DM'd her. I told her, congratulations on the gig. I said, it's going to be weird. And she goes, oh my God, it's going to be so weird on the other side. I go, look, traditionally, I boo the crap out of Dodgers players. I said, I can't boo Kirby. I said, I can't. So I may just look away, but I said, I shan't be booing him this year. She said, well, we appreciate it very much. Thank you guys for always being so kind to us. I don't want him to do well against us.
What is he, like a sixth inning guy for them?
Yeah, I mean, right? Like, what does he pitch, the fourth? Roki goes three, and then you put Kirby in the fourth?
They won't need a lot of middle relievers because they've got such an unbelievable starting rotation, and they already have a really good back end of their bullpen. Kirby's going to go and, I mean, basically Club Med for Kirby and make $13 million.
And
probably
just kick
won't need him that often. He's just going to be out there hanging with the bullpen crew.
That 55 appearances is in jeopardy already because of, like,
hard to earn that extra million, but whatever. Throw it in there. Hey, you know, we've been talking about the Dodgers all off season, but people beyond the Padres fan base are clearly noticing. This was a tweet from national radio host Jason Smith. Does Dodgers get Kirby Yates? When Steve Cohen spent like this, by the way, he's a Mets fan, MLB put in a tax to stop him because, oh, the Mets can't do this. Yet the Dodgers have been out-Cohening Cohen, and there's been nothing from MLB about curbing it. And he says, the fact it's easy to say doesn't mean it's not incredibly powerful. On paper, the 2025 Dodgers, the best roster I've ever seen in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, Brett Boone and I were talking about it at Fantasy Camp. He said, on paper, this is the best roster that there has ever been. Now, there's pitfalls. There's pitfalls with when that happens. We know it to be true. We lived this in 23. FanFest 23. When those four guys got up on stage, I grew a foot that day listening to them talk, watching them, watching the way they carry themselves. I thought to myself, nobody beats this team.
Nobody did. No doubt that was the best roster in Padres history.
Yeah.
By far.
And we didn't even make the playoffs. And that remains one of those excruciating years to cover. You know, and then you lose Juan Soto and you have a brilliant year last year. What is this year going to look like? I wish I knew. I wish I knew. I could tell you right now, hey, make sure you stay all in, you know, or hey, if you have other hobbies, you'd like, maybe you'd like to learn to start playing guitar or piano. This would be a good year for it, right? But I don't know. You still have to play those games. But yeah, it's pretty nuts. We got some comments later. I'll do it and don't do this from Yankees, owner. Hal Steinbrenner, which shocked the baseball world yesterday.
All right, this segment of Ben and Woods is brought to you by Robert Half. 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help recruit professionals and utilize an award-winning AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, they know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today. Yeah, we've got that coming up. Don't do this. Before that, we'll talk about the Aztecs' comeback last night. Later on, another name in our biggest fan contest. 9 o'clock, be listening for your chance to win if you have your name registered at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan. Chance to win the 20-person night at a Padres game in the Odyssey Suite coming up this season. So make sure you're registered, and we'll have another name for you at 9 o'clock. All right, we'll come back. The Aztecs trailed by 21 points to lowly San Jose State last night. What happened after that? Find out next on The Fan.